Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
We're going to give you Essential Oils 101, things that you should know.
Powdery mildew, what is it? How do you treat it? What does it cause? We're going to discuss all that.
And we're going to talk to Sharon Morrissey. She's the horticultural garden expert for University of Wisconsin Extension, Milwaukee County.
As well as your garden questions and our garden answers. All of that starts right now. Garden Radio's on the air.
You're tuned in to the only vegetable gardening radio show in Milwaukee with your host, Joey Baird, who grew up in the country but now lives closer to the city, and Holly Baird, who has always been a city girl. Combined, they have over 25 years of gardening experience, who believe in simple gardening practices. A gardener for all gardeners, founders of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, where they created over 800 how-to garden videos to teach others how to grow more of what they eat. Join them for the next hour as they discuss vegetable gardening and more.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293CX 106.5. Wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, whether through those particular stations, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, the radio tab on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website, or anywhere in between. We are live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination, now containing 970-plus garden-related videos, short, long format, all for your entertainment and educational purposes, as well as full-length and segments of this radio show in podcast form and in studio video. You can contact us in a variety of different ways during the show and after the show, but the reason why you're able to do that is because of great companies like
Nasala Kombucha is the executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nasala is made in Wisconsin with local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator aisle at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nasala Kombucha, it's not kombucha. Find out more at nasala.com.
You can also contact us. Well, you can contact us during the show on the ivyorganics.com 3-in-1 Plant Guard Hotline. You can also email us at twvgradio@gmail.com or tweet us at hashtag TWVG. ivyorganics.com.
Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents, protects newly installed plants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit, and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivyorganics.com, and you can call in at 414-444-5250.
Well, there we go. You can do that, and you don't have to wait till the end of the show. We did have homework we wanted to get to before we get into the show. Last week we had a caller at the end of the show that asked us about their burning bush and their chi rose bush, why it was dying. I believe it was 3 years old and it didn't come back this year, Holly. So we did some research and we found out there's a couple of potential resolutions to the death of the plant.
Right. So it could be voles attacking the roots. It could be rabbits eating around the base of the plant. Sometimes they might feed off of it during winter. It could be a lack of water, or it could be too much moisture. So unfortunately, it's kind of all those things. One thing you could do is you could certainly, if this continues to be a problem, if it's by a house, most of the time burning bushes prefer not to be near a building. They need to be further away from that structure. So move it away from there, because the moisture will tend to pool around that area a lot. So think about kind of where you're putting it if you choose to buy a new one.
So hopefully that gives you some guidelines in which maybe you can narrow down the problems that you can maybe go back and go, well, maybe this was it, maybe that wasn't it. We do have a talk this week. Our late summer, early fall speaking series now begins to kick off. We start this Tuesday at Muskego, at the Muskego Public Library, where we will talk on basics of canning. Holly will kind of run that one. I'll kind of assist her on that. So come out, totally free. If you we're getting close to the canning season, so if you want to know about canning, if you've never done canning or you're wanting to revisit some things, we will be more than happy to go over those with you. Again, basics of canning, Muskego, 7 p.m., Public Library, Tuesday night. And we do it, and we teach you the safe way, not the easy way. So keep that in mind. So with that being said, You can find out all of our speaking appearances under the Come See Us tab on our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. I think we've got 8 or 9 left this year in that in the series there. So we're going to get into essential oils. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had Amanda from Freedom Homestead on, and she is a big user of essential oils, and she kind of teased us a little bit about told us a little bit about essential oils and what they were used for. We're going to go in more in depth with this. Now, Holly, you, I didn't know what essential oils were until I met you. Didn't know that existed. Had no idea. So we're going to go over some of the basic essential oils and what are their, what they are and what they can be used for. But there is a disclaimer here.
Right. So essential oils are a great way to enhance your life, your garden, your anything, pretty much. Good people use them to keep bugs away. You can make homemade cleaners. You can do skincare, all sorts of things in your garden. So they are beneficial. However, this is not medical advice by any means. There's things that I found, and there's many things you can find online. But I wouldn't use essential oils as a necessary cure. But they may enhance, things for you.
We can only talk about our personal experience.
Right.
But again, we're not PhD doctors or essential oilologist on this. We just know what worked for us, what we've been told. You have to take this information and do your own research, and it may work just as well for you, or it may not work at all. So right. There's your disclaimer.
So essential oils, Merriam-Webster defines essential oils as a natural oil typically obtained by distillation and having the characteristic fragrance of the plant or other source from which it is extracted. And that's about right. Some fragrances are extracted by distillation, steam, different things, but that's essentially what it is.
So basically, you're not going to make some essential oils in the basement on a weekend. Is that kind of, to the extent of what you would get from buying from online providers?
Right. And people often ask, why does this little bottle cost $8 or something?
For like one fluid ounce or something like that?
Yeah. It goes by milliliters.
Okay.
But basically, like a shot glass size of a bottle, can cost anywhere from $6 to, I've seen, like $35.
Well, isn't some of that rare stuff like hundreds of dollars?
It can be.
Yeah.
And
but
so that's something too.
We don't deal with the rare stuff. So don't get all, we just deal with the normal, I guess, would be the categorized.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so something to keep in mind that the process is that they're extracting this fragrance. And so basically, like, they have to grow a whole field of lavender to attain this. So it's not like something you're just going to pick up from your backyard if you wanted to make your own oil. So that's something to keep in mind. But many common uses for oils, like I had mentioned, is skincare. During the winter, when I have a stuffy nose before I get in the shower, I'll put a few drops in the bottom of the tub and
of
ask
lavender.
The steam.
No, eucalyptus. Eucalyptus, yes.
Yeah, and use the steam to make that oil kind of fill up the whole bathroom. So this,
and the concept of that is that oil, that fragrance, opens up your nasal passages,
right,
and allows some of that to drain,
yeah,
in combination with the steam. Now, you also have, and maybe we're going to get to it here, the infuser.
The diffuser.
Diffuser, where it fills the room. It's basically a mock humidifier, but it emits this aroma.
It's not a humidifier, though.
I know, but it has the essential. It acts like it. It fills the room with this fragrance,
right,
that you put in a pad that it pushes the, so you're breathing it in all through the night.
Right. That's one thing that many people do. And that can be for to make your house smell good, because there's different scents like citrus or juniper or lavender. So as opposed to buying like a plug-in or something or a candle, that's a more natural way to make your house smell good. And then another thing I do is I've done different skincare things with them. One time Joey was sick and he had some sore muscles, so I made a muscle rub with, I believe it had eucalyptus, peppermint, and I can't remember the other one, but it was relieving to him. So there's different things that you can do to make yourself feel better, essentially.
Right, and in the home, in the homesteading means of taking care of yourself environment, if you have lungs that you're coughing stuff up, there are different essential oils in which you can put in that diffuser, and it will help loosen all of that gunk in your lungs. Now, you're going to cough it up most likely, And but that's one way, in, you know, to go about if you want to try to go more of a in non-medical way, I guess.
Right.
And it did work for me, yeah. But it may not work for you.
And then there's a popular oil blend. It's typically called Thieves Oil. Some people, depending where you buy it, it's like also called Germ Fighter. And many people diffuse it in their homes during flu season or combine it with a carrier oil, which I'll explain what a carrier oil is in a second. And it has a kind of a pleasant, spicy, warm scent, but it's been known to have antibiotic properties.
Now, not all of these essential oils are a pleasant smell, in my opinion. There's some that have kind of a unpleasant smell.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you know that saying, sometimes in life, the things that taste the worst are the best for you type
right.
of thing. And that's kind of the same.
But for the most part, they smell
right.
Decent.
Right. They're not all strawberries and cherries and blueberry. You know, they don't all have that really sweet aroma smell to them.
So let me explain what a carrier
yeah.
oil is. So that's typically going to be it's going to be a cold-pressed oil. And typically it's going to be something such as grapeseed, almond, or almond oil, and then what's called fractioned coconut oil. So if you've ever used coconut oil, you know that at room temperature or colder, it's a solid. Fractioned coconut oil is made to, so that's a liquid and stays a liquid. So it's beneficial.
It doesn't solidify.
No.
There's a property in there that they've got to the stage where it's always going to be a liquid.
Right.
Okay.
So that's something like I had a skin rash recently, and I put some lavender and tea tree oils into my fractioned coconut oil, and it helped immensely that rash.
And with that rash, it was a reaction to deodorant that you thought it was an all-natural deodorant.
Right.
And it had too much baking soda in it, which reacted to your body. So you did this mixture, and within, 3 days, the irritation and it was cleared up. Completely cleared up. So you didn't have to go to the doctor for that. It worked very well.
Right.
And it didn't burn or anything like that. You didn't even know, you know, it was just doing its thing.
Right, definitely. And I have a friend who is an aromatherapist, and she went to school. It was just, a 6-month course or whatever. But she's a certified aromatherapist. And this is something that you want to keep in mind is that oils, some of these oils can be harmful in the sense that they have, and you can Google this, they're phototoxic, which means that if they're exposed to sun, if they're on your skin and you expose it to sun, a lot of UV rays, it can have almost like a sunburn effect on your skin.
Like a magnification through that liquid and burn your skin.
Now, it's not all the oils, because you'll see recipes for make your own sunscreen, and it includes adding essential oils so it smells better or whatever. It's typically the citrus ones. So that's going to be things like lime, lemon, orange, grapefruit, any of those have the higher level of phototoxicity. So you want to keep that in mind. And if you're not sure, then you can also do a Google search. Planttherapy.com has a good information thing about the phototoxic oils. So that's something you should look into before you make something that you're going to put on your skin and then be exposed to UV rays for a long time.
So with essential oils, are we talking there's only like 12 or 15? Or are we talking there's hundreds and hundreds of different types of essential oils that one can choose from for specific purposes?
I would say there's probably at least 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
And different size bottles, different pricing,
right.
All that stuff. But essentially, if you get eucalyptus oil from company A, it's basically the same type of eucalyptus oil from company C, or is it like anything else? The more you pay for it, the better processed it is, or is there a kind of a realm in which just because it's more expensive doesn't mean it's more pure or better?
No, and there's multiple level marketing of essential oils, or you can go to your local health food store and buy them. I'm going to say I purchased mine from planttherapy.com. My friend who's an aromatherapist, she purchased hers from there too. So, and I don't have to sign up for a kit or be a multi-level marketer.
If you want one bottle, you can buy one bottle.
Yep, exactly.
There's some of these, and you bring that up because some
and
of
nothing
them.
Against that at all, but this is just me personally. I don't have the time to try to deal with that. So
right. Some places you have to purchase a kit of 12 or 13 or 14 bottles, and when you only need that one 12 milliliter bottle of such and such, you've got all these other ones that you are not going to use.
Exactly.
So you want to do your research, and there's also charts online showing here's what this is, the varieties or the
how
type,
to dilute it.
How to dilute
mm-hmm.
it and what they are essentially you're using them for, health-wise and garden-wise.
Right, yep. And how to combine the oils as well.
Right. So that's just a little bit about essential oils. And again, this is not medical advice. This is advisory advice from us to get you, maybe you didn't know what essential oils were, and now you are maybe going to look into it because it may be a little more for minor issues than going to your local physician. So just something to throw out there. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that probably a lot of you are going to or have or will experience, which is powdery mildew on your squashes and vine crops, right after this.
Never miss a thing. Sign up for the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener newsletter. Go to thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and click on the newsletter box.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com.
Do you have a little space to grow? Check out Greenstock Vertical Gardens at GreenstockGarden.com. Greenstock is engineered to grow with its innovative space and water-saving design. You can grow vegetables, flowers, herbs, and even strawberries in just 2 square feet of space. Grow up instead of out. Perfect for the porch, patio, or deck. Grow up to 30 plants in a small space. GreenstockGarden.com has everything you need to grow in the littlest of spaces. Proudly made in the USA. For more information and to purchase, visit GreenstockGarden.com. Beans and Barley Marketing Cafe, a neighborhood specialty grocery store for the east side of the greater Milwaukee area. You can find all you need, from fresh produce to bakery to organic frozen dinners, from wine to fresh juice, carrot juice, a health food store with hundreds of products, vitamins, supplements, bath and body items, magazines, cards, books, and a knowledgeable staff. Catering available, open daily at 8 a.m. The restaurant serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with a menu of good, healthy, homemade food, including vegetarian and non-vegetarian specialties. 1901 East North Avenue, Milwaukee, 414-278-7878, and online at beansandbarley.com.
I want a garden center that listens to and understands my needs.
I want to buy my gardening products from a local business with strong ties to the community.
All I want is a garden center that truly values their customers.
It seems like everyone is selling plants these days, but I'm having a hard time finding quality.
I take pride in my garden, so I want my garden center to take pride in their products.
Where will you be going for all of your gardening needs this season? Blue Mel's Garden Center. We are your answer.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Julie and Holly Baird.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293CX 106.5. So glad you've decided to join us on this Saturday morning here live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener is your destination. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for all things gardening. 970 plus videos, digital magazines, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all of that goodness, and a whole lot more fun there. Well, a whole lot of fun was and is when fresh produce, such as peaches, are drove right to your neighborhood, and that's happening right now in the area from tree-ripe.com.
Right, so if you like fresh produce delivered right to your neighborhood, you should check out Tree Ripe Citrus Company. You can find out where to pick up this top-quality produce at tree-ripe.com. They have the stops off at your neighborhood, different parts of your neighborhood. They also have, they go to different farmers markets where you can buy smaller portions. They have tasty peaches, juicy sweet blueberries, and fresh shelled pecans.
Pecans.
They're just super delicious. Right, Joey?
Yep. We canned ours a couple of weeks ago. We got them up in the Cedarburg area. They're going to make multiple stops around here again. If you go to tree-ripe.com, you can...
And they have locations all over Iowa, Upper and Lower Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and, of course, right here in Wisconsin. Tree-ripe.com is your local, is your go-to for your freshest produce around.
Check them out. And they in the winter, they have produce all year round. Peaches in the summer and
citrus.
And they have citrus in the winter.
Right, citrus in the winter.
Peaches, blueberries, and pecans in the summer. Mm-hmm. So let's get into powdery mildew, Holly. It's a problem that many of us have in our gardens, and maybe you had it, and you didn't know you had it, and you just thought it was common, ordinary, the way the plant grows. What is powdery mildew, first of all?
So powdery mildew is a fungal disease, and it typically affects your vine crops, like your squash and
watermelons,
beans.
Zucchinis.
Beans not as much, but it can. It can affect your beans.
And powdery mildew, we as gardeners, as vegetable gardeners, think of that. It affects many different species of vegetation, from trees to flowers to vegetables. So it's when we reference the powdery mildew on your squashes and your melons and all of that, that's what we know about. That's what we're talking about, vegetables. We're not going to talk about your tree or your flower that has the powdery mildew on it.
Right. So what happens is that because of that powdery mildew, now if you have a mild case of it, it's okay. It's typically not going to be a problem. But if it looks really thick, what's going to happen is it chokes out the plants from getting to perform their duty of chlorophyll, so they don't get enough sunlight to their leaves, so they cannot process correctly.
Some people say it doesn't affect them. We've always seen a dramatic change whenever the plant gets the powdery mildew on it versus when it doesn't have powdery mildew. So on a tree that is a very mature tree, if you have some form of powdery mildew, your tree is not going to die. It's got enough life in it, enough other leaves in which it can photosynthesize. If you're talking a butternut squash, a spaghetti squash, a zucchini, for example, they only have maybe 12 or 20 leaf structures. So when 90% of those get covered, it's kind of hard for that plant to produce photosynthesis or absorb the sunlight. So what does it look like, first of all?
So it looks like a powdery substance on your leaves of your plants.
Yeah, it looks like somebody sprinkled powder on the leaves of your plants. More of a dingy off-white powder.
Right. And so when you have a lot of humidity or a lot of rain and you have warm evening temperatures, warm night temperatures, it doesn't allow your plants to dry off completely.
Now, sometimes you can't have any control on this.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
It's not like you're doing something wrong 99% of the time. You're not. This is just how it happens. This is how it works. This is how mildew forms, with that dampness that it's not allowed to dry off on the leaves. One of the contributing factors can be if you're above ground watering before it gets dark. That can really lead to a lot of problems as well.
So that's something to keep in mind. And you can put the plants further apart. That's one way to prevent this in the future. If you have only one plant with the powdery mildew, it might not hurt just to yank that plant out and move on with your life.
You need to be vigilant. You need to keep your eye on it, because if you see powdery mildew forming on two leaf structures or two leaves, go ahead and remove those. Cut those straight off from the base of the plant, like for example, zucchini, or the stalk if it's a pumpkin or watermelon or whatever, and remove those, throw them away, because this can spread. This can spread from leaf to leaf, and if you're touching infected leaves, you can actually carry those spores of mildew over to uninfected leaves and actually infect the rest of your plants. So you need to be careful with that. But you can remove about 20%, 25% of the leaves if you have a lot of them affected.
Right.
Now, we usually get this late September, early October, where you only have about 30 days left of the grow season. And it's inevitable. You know you're going to have frost. The plant's going to die. So you just kind of let the plant do its own thing. But if sometimes you get it early, you can control it. And let's talk about some of the means in which preactive and reactive to the procedure of, okay, I have it or I might have it, so I want to try to slow it down or prevent it.
So one thing you can do is you can, to basically, if you start seeing it, is you can use baking soda or also sodium bicarbonate. Baking soda is a great thing for many things, and definitely in this situation. Now, you could combine it with some water, or you can combine it with like a cold pressed neem oil or a liquid soap such as like a Dr. Bronner's liquid or a mild dish soap.
What that does is that dish soap, everything you put in there allows it to stick on the plant leaf,
right,
and eat away at that mildew is what you're doing with these applications. There's a number of different home remedies that you can use on this. If you're going to go with neem oil, you want a cold-pressed neem oil. Mm-hmm. That's what you're wanting to look for. MIGardener.com has that available if you're looking for cold-pressed. You just don't want to go to the big box store and buy neem oil, because they have taken all the goody stuff out of it, and really it's ineffective. So cold-pressed neem oil, if you're going to purchase neem oil for any gardening application there.
So you can use mouthwash, and you want to use the generic ethanol-based mouthwash, the stuff that is I mean, you feel it when you use it in your mouth. That's for sure. And what that does is it helps eliminate. And if you're applying it, you water it down a little bit. But when you apply it, you don't want to apply it to the super new foliage. You want to apply it to the stuff that is more affected.
And that's typically the older leaves there. Now, in order to find this all this information, you can go online and search for
Powdery mildew and growing a greener world. And this article will come up that's written by our friend Joe Lample.
He's been a guest on the program. He's got a great article with that. So other things that we can do here in order to control, reduce, eliminate the powdery mildew, Holly, is, you got sulfur and lime sulfur, a direct contact. Sulfur prevents the disease spores from developing.
Vinegar. So some of the stuff you're going to have in your house anyway, like the baking soda, possibly the mouthwash, the vinegar. You may not have neem oil, but you can make it effective, like we had mentioned, with the soap to add to the water. And then what else do we have? Oh, and the milk. We tried this.
And it didn't eliminate it, but it did slow it down enough to where the plant could finish out its lifespan before, and was done by the time the frost hit. And now with this, if you have or you're seeing powdery mildew, you don't want to go, well, I'll get to it on Saturday or I'll get to it on Tuesday when I'm off, because by then the plant can be completely infected and coated with powdery mildew. It is not something that is slow to transfer from leaf to leaf. This can happen in a matter of hours with the infection of powdery mildew.
Right, and ironically, one of the suggestions here is water, and it's kind of like that fighting fire with fire type situation where you're using it to prevent those spores from continuing to form. This is something you would do early in the morning, get that water on there so the spores stop forming so that the sun and the heat of the day can help dry it out.
And that's the thing. You want to disrupt those spores, break them apart, cover the leaf so you're not you don't have any issues with that spore, allowing that environment to exist for mold and mildew. Mildew is basically a form of mold, and that's what happens whenever you go and you don't do this correctly.
Right.
Other ways, powdery mildew, you can buy plants that are mildew resistant. Those exist. And you want to identify the type of mildew that you have, powdery mildew. There are some plants, some zucchini plants, that look like they have powdery mildew. But the actual structure of the plant leaf, that's the way it grows. That's the way it actually is. It has like light, whitish kind of areas on the leaf, so it's not powdery mildew. Some are just completely green as can be, and other ones have greenish spottiness, white areas. So know your plant and the variety in which you're growing so you don't misidentify that. Let's see, what else? That's pretty much, we've covered pretty much everything we can cover. And again, if you're not certain that you have powdery mildew, and we're talking about vegetables here, you can do a image search.
Right. One thing I want to mention real quick, if you're going to use the vinegar or the mouthwash or anything that's possibly acidic, is you want to be very careful when you use it, because if you get that on your soil, obviously you're not going to spray a ton on your soil, but if you spill a lot or something, it can be harmful to the
microbial
life in your soil. So keep that in mind when you're spraying it or whatever. Just don't overdo it. But definitely, if you're going to mix it up in a part of your garden that you don't, where the soil doesn't really matter to you.
And a lot of times it's not the cause that you're doing to the plant, but sometimes it is. And again, watering in the evening can make a difference with that water on the leaves and not being able to cool or dry out. Now, if you're on a drip irrigation system, that's a totally different deal. Well, it's summertime. We've got grass to mow. Maybe you don't like to mow grass. Maybe it's not a fun thing. I know your sister, it's not a fun thing for her. She'd much rather, dig a ditch somewhere than mow grass. But Aaron's can help you out with that because they have the right equipment that can get the job done and get it done correctly.
Do you hear that? That's your neighbor shaking in their grass-stained shoes because Aaron's is about to help you step up your grass-cutting game. Your name is on the mailbox, so the Aaron's name should be on your mower. Heavy-duty steel construction, smarter, smoother controls, professional cutting performance. The only thing we love more than the smell of freshly cut grass is the sweet taste of victory. Aaron's. It comes down to this. Visit Aaron's.com to find your local dealer for lawn and snow removal equipment.
When we come back, Sharon Morrissey will be with us. She is a horticultural teacher and garden casual gardener from Extension Master Gardener Volunteer right here in the Milwaukee County. We're going to talk about Japanese beetles, the jumping worm, and a whole lot more right after this.
Have a gardening question? Email Joey and Holly at twvgradio@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. What you say? You say Nasala Kombucha. It'll put some glide in your stride and some pep in your step. Nasala Kombucha. Yeah.
Nasala Kombucha makes your body happy. Nasala Kombucha makes your body smile.
The River West Co-op Grocery and Cafe is proud to support the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener and a lot of other Wisconsin growers as well. The co-op offers a wide range of local and organic produce in their store and on their cafe menu, from apples to yogurt and everything in between. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekends, at the corner of Clark and Frackney in Milwaukee's River West neighborhood. See what is in store and check out the Co-op Cafe's delicious vegetarian menu at riverwestcoop.org.
Mycorrhizae is a beneficial fungus from PlantSuccess.com that will greatly increase your plant's germination ability and a healthier root structure. You can increase seed sprouting, root growth, and general plant germination. Mycorrhizae can be used with hydroponics, root cutting, seed sprouting, coca core, and soil. PlantSuccess.com carries powder, granule, and tablet forms of mycorrhizae. Increase the level of mycorrhizae in your soil for your plants to give them the optimal opportunity to produce an incredible harvest. For more information and to purchase, visit PlantSuccess.com.
Garden seeds do not have to cost a fortune. Just 99 cents at migardener.com. With over 300 varieties of non-GMO, heirloom, and organic flower, vegetable, and herb seeds available year-round, pay less and get more seeds. Shipping as low as $2.50. That just makes sense. Go to migardener.com for seeds and gardening needs, tools, and special blend fertilizer. migardener.com. It's that simple. Family owned and operated.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show.
This is not a drill.
With your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, the real deal, right here live in Milwaukee. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.com is your destination for all things gardening, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, digital magazines, and a whole lot more. Well, Bluemels has everything that you need for your landscape and garden needs, and they can be found at?
Bluemels can be found at 4930 West Loomis Road in Greenfield, but they have been around since 1955. They're family-owned and operated. The business owner actually works in the building, and no matter the size of your garden need, they can supply and surpass all of your garden needs. They have a wide variety of plants, garden supplies, and a very knowledgeable staff.
And they have talks that are going on every Thursday at their location, and we will be there August 17th on Basics of Canning. So if you want to come out and see us and learn a little bit about canning, if you missed the Muskego one this week, we can you can certainly come out and see us on that.
And you can go to bluemels.com or call 414-282-4220, and they're at 4930 West Loomis Road, just south of Layton. On Loomis.
They got a coffee shop. They've got playgrounds, places for you to, you know, landscape, all that stuff. They got all that stuff there and a whole lot more. So let's go to the ivyorganics.com hotline and bring in our next guest, Holly.
Sharon Morrissey is a premier horticulturist and teacher of both casual gardeners and Extension Master Gardener volunteers. She is a consumer horticultural agent for the Milwaukee County University of Wisconsin Extension. She's regularly featured on local media, most notable for 19 years of segments of In the Garden on Fox 6 TV Wake Up News Show. Welcome to the program, Sharon.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day to share some of your knowledge with Holly, myself, and our listeners.
I'm always happy to do that.
So I want to start out with this. What is the importance of having a university extension in your county? What is the core purpose of a university extension office?
Well, the mission of UW Extension is all educational. They call it extension because we extend the research of the university to people so that they can use it, people in their communities, people in their homes, and for their lives, and in this case, for gardening. So it's an educational-based program that's based on university research entirely, and it's in many different subject areas, horticulture and gardening being just one of those. There's an office in every county, so everybody has a county extension office that you can work with, and they provide programs and information. It is a federal, state, and county partnership, and it's sort of like the county education department, and it's tailored to the needs of that specific county and the communities and the people in that county. So I think it's a really important way to get good, reliable information and additional education.
Okay, great. There is a new invasive species called the jumping worm. What is it, and how? What do consumers need to be aware of before they purchase soil in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, jumping worms are becoming a real scourge. People are pretty alarmed when they find them in their yards. They're not earthworms. We'll start with that. And you never have just one. They are in large groups, and they squirm like crazy when they are disturbed, and so they were calling them crazy worms, then jumping worms. They do move around very erratically when they're disturbed, and they're also always found just below the soil surface. They don't go down into tunnels and come back up like our regular earthworms do. They come into your yard with soil in containers of plants that you've purchased from other locations, from plants that you have shared from other gardeners, and also in some of the bulk nursery products like mulches and soils. And it's often very difficult to detect that they are in those products. So a lot of caution should be used when you're purchasing those kinds of things, and even when you're bringing in new plants into your yard. Really check the root system, check the soil that's in the pot and with the plant. Like I say, they're on the top of the soil surface. They eat all of the organic matter out of the soil. And the soil ends up looking like coffee grounds. So it's really distinctive when you've got them. They look a lot like our usual earthworms, but they do have a lighter band around their body than earthworms. And that band is flat with the rest of their body, whereas our earthworms, that band that goes around them is raised, kind of raised. The biggest problem is that there's nothing you can do about them at this time. Digging that soil out and removing it won't do it. You often move them from place to place in your own yard by working in that soil, and you contaminate your tools. You'll end up having some of the very small worms, the larvae, on your tools. And in the spring, it's especially difficult because they're so small, you can't really see them. And all that's there are the cocoons that overwinter. The adults die in the winter. So it's just something to really be aware of. Be very careful when you're bringing things into your property. And for the time being, if you do discover that you have jumping worm, be very careful not to transmit it to other areas of your yard or other people's yards. Clean your tools off really well, and even your shoes and your boots where you've been working. And wait, the research is ongoing, and hopefully we will find a way to control them.
Do you know if there's any known cases in the southeast Wisconsin area or the Milwaukee County area at this point?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
It's in many places. People who have absolutely no idea that they have them, and then they learn about them, and they start working in their soil, and lo and behold, there they are.
And once they get done with the organic matter in the soil, they start eating the roots of the plants, correct?
Well, they actually don't eat the roots of the plant, but they take so much out of the soil that the plants can't thrive.
Okay.
The roots can't thrive. So that's how they do damage to the roots, is just by their feeding on the organic matter all around the roots. The soil is absolutely amazing when they get done with it. It really truly looks like coffee grounds.
Okay. So one more commonly known invasive species is the emerald ash borer. How does it spread, mm-hmm. and what is to be done if you think you have it? How do you prevent spreading?
Well, emerald ash borer has been in Wisconsin for, I think it's been 8 years now, and it is pretty widespread. I think there are some counties that still have not reported emerald ash borer, but we figure it probably is in most of the counties. Because by the time it has been found in any other counties, it has been there for quite a few years. It is a metallic beetle, and that beetle lays her eggs on the bark of ash trees. The egg burrows into the trunk, and then the larva feeds just under the bark, and that happens to be the tissue that conducts all of the nutrients and water for the tree, and it eventually dies from that. It is spread through firewood. When you move firewood from one place to another that doesn't have emerald ash borer, you are spreading the emerald ash borer in many cases. So how to prevent it from spreading is to not move firewood. They have certified firewood providers in locations near many of our camping areas in Wisconsin, and those then are the ones you should use to purchase wood. And then don't bring wood back into our county. What do you do if you think you have it? Well, you have to make a decision. It may be that the trees that it's attacking aren't all that important after all. It does cost something to take care of the trees and to manage them. And you have to decide if you want to put that, investment into those trees. So determining the most valuable trees on your property and then trying to save those. If you notice that the canopy of the tree is thinned out during the middle of the growing season, like right now, to the point where it's only about 50% filled out, it probably is too late. So you kind of keep your eye on the tree and over the years watch what it's doing. And if you start to see some of the symptoms, which is a thinning canopy is one of the most obvious symptoms, then it's time to make that decision whether you want to start treating or not. And the treatments are very successful, and it can be done by a homeowner. You would need to do it every year. It's a simple chemical mixed with water in a watering can, and you water around the base of the plant, the tree. You don't even have to go out to the drip line like you do with many things. So it can be treated. It's very effective if you treat. If you don't treat, eventually your ashes will die. So it's not a great situation. I notice emerald ash borer kills trees all over the place as I'm driving around. You can tell two things that you can tell. You'll see a tree that has almost no leaves on the tree, but there's this one area where there's this great big glob of stems and leaves kind of in the middle of the tree or coming from the trunk of the tree. Those are called epicormic sprouts, and those are a sign that your tree has emerald ash borer. The other thing is that woodpeckers love the emerald ash borers, and so the woodpecker population is thriving. They go to the tree, and they start hunting around for the larva under the bark. And to do that, they kind of flick with their beak. They knock off pieces of bark. They call it flecking. And the area where that bark has come off is lighter colored. And so it's a very distinctive tan versus the gray of the bark. And sometimes you'll see a whole portion of a tree just all tan because the woodpeckers have been feeding on the larva there. So if you're at that point, it probably is too late to do anything about it on your own property. So just go out and check them and monitor for it, and then be ready to make that decision.
For gardeners like us, during the summer, there's a lot of diseases that we believe we have. For gardeners, if they feel they have a true disease on whatever plant, vegetable, foliage, whatever they have, how's the best way to identify it on their property and do it correctly?
Well, diseases, when you look at them, are very difficult to distinguish one from another. But there are definitely certain things to look for. And most of the diseases that we find on plants are things that, we kind of know can occur on the plant. And so doing some research, or doing some literary research, checking into what are the most common diseases on that plant is one of the best ways. And so going to a website that has university research-based information, they have lots of fact sheets about the common diseases. And if it's a local website, a local educational source, then they will have the publications about the things that are most likely to find locally. So in Milwaukee area, well, in Wisconsin, you can go to our state extension website for horticulture, and that is hort.uwex.edu. And then in the search box, you can type in the plant you're trying to grow and just say, let's say, tomato diseases. And it will give you a list of the publications on tomato diseases that we have through the UW Extension. So searching for the plant that you're having the problem on is probably the first place to start. And then in that description of how to grow that plant, it will tell you what common diseases there are. You also have the option of doing a general search on the Internet. And again, it's good to look for a university research-based site. And one way to do that is to type in, say, tomato diseases, and then type, leave a space, and then type site:.edu. That will mean that all of the results you get are from educational sites. And then you can look through those, and you'll be able to tell if it's a local EDU organization. And really, most times, anything that's in the general vicinity, you know, your region is all right. So a Minnesota site is fine. An Iowa site, Illinois, Indiana, you know, they're pretty long states. They have some other zones, warmer zones than we do. Cornell is very good. Michigan State is very good. So those are the kinds of sites to look for and find information from if you don't find them on the Wisconsin Extension site.
Absolutely.
We do also have an email service that is staffed by our Master Gardener volunteers who are trained to do these things, and you can send a message to them through this email site. You can also send photos to them, and that's very helpful if you can accompany it by some photos, close-ups of the leaf or whatever it is you're looking at that you think is diseased. And if I can give that email.
Yes, go ahead.
It's planthealth.advisors, A-D-V-I-S-O-R-S, at uwex.edu. And they will get back to you within a couple of days. We have Master Gardener on duty doing those emails 5 days a week, so you should be able to get an answer pretty quickly.
Well, Sharon, we thank you greatly for taking time out of your day to join us, sharing a lot of information that our listeners can take and use on their property and be aware of problems that they didn't even know was existing here in Wisconsin.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. And we'll be back right after this with your garden questions and our garden answers.
A gardening question? You can call into the ivorganic.com hotline at 414-444-5250 right now.
Do you have a problem with deer or small herbivores eating your vegetation? There is a natural solution that is safe for your pets and family. Bobex is the answer, an environmentally friendly solution to protect your plants, will not wash off, and is guaranteed. Bobex Deer was independently tested against 9 known competitors and rated 93% effective, second only to a physical barrier. Bobex can be used on all types of ornamentals, trees, and shrubs. Ask for it by name at your local independent garden center. Find out more, visit bobex.com. BOBEX.COM.
The international food selection at Woodman's is more than just salsa and soy sauce. We stock a huge selection of foods and ingredients from all over the world. Whether it's Asian, Latin American, European, or Middle Eastern, Woodman's has it. Plus, each store has its own unique selection. With Woodman's, you don't need to visit multiple stores to get what you need. We have everything you need under one roof and at a great price.
Hotshin Mill, 125 years of experience producing stone ground organic flour and cornmeal made from premium quality whole grains. Family owned company, continual standards that are non-GMO, organic at the highest safety levels, offering a wide variety of flours, pasta, baking mixes, flaxseed, and more, even kosher and gluten-free options. Found at most local grocers like Woodman's. For more information and recipes, visit HotshinMill.com. That's HODGSONMILL.com.
Hi, I'm John Lewandowski, retail manager of Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. Now, I'm not going to tell you about our awesome dome-grown plants, our beautiful pottery, or our 40 varieties of landscape materials. What I am going to tell you is that Blue Mel's is a local, independent, family-owned garden center that truly cares about your garden or landscape project. So if you're looking for that one garden center that actually cares about you, come to Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. We've been treating our customers like family since 1955.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show.
You didn't mention that I was a sailboat trailer expert.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're coming here, and it was this trailer, and I didn't know what it was. And I said, oh, that's a sailboat trailer. Watch. I didn't know that you had any knowledge of sailboat expertise whatsoever.
Well, I've grown up by water my whole life, okay. So I know things.
Well, I know tractors, so there you go.
Okay.
With your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.com is your destination for all things gardening. It's the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio show with the sailboat trailer expert. Holly's over there. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.com, over 970 garden related videos, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and a whole lot more. We're going to go to the ivyorganics.com hotline because we have a question. Caller, what is your question?
Hi, first of all, you have a great show.
Thank you.
I would like to know which essential oils will help with pests in the garden, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you for your question. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your comment. So there's a number of essential oils, and what she's referring to is, and I was going to, we forgot to mention this in the first segment, pests and pets in the garden. You can take, for example, peppermint extract and dilute it down and spray it around certain plants to mess up the sensories of bad bugs.
Yeah, peppermint is huge in the garden for many bad bugs. Another one, so peppermint or spearmint.
And pets, to keep animals out, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Peppermint, spearmint, anything citrus is also good. And then even things like thyme oil or a cedarwood. So anything citrus, anything minty. And then cedar wood, so anything kind of woody.
And you dilute it down into a spray bottle and spritz it over
right.
That area which you want to keep these animals, pets, and bad bugs away.
Exactly.
Okay, there you go. If you got a question, you can certainly call us on the ivyorganics.com hotline.
And that's the Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard. Naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents. Protects newly installed plants and trees. Shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. You can visit ivyorganics.com or you can call them right now to 414-444-5250 with your question. And stop telling people I'm a sailboat trailer expert because somebody's going to call and ask about their sailboat trailer.
You're the one that brought it up. If you forget or you don't have a question now and you have a question later on in the week, you can certainly email us at twvgradio@gmail.com, twvgradio@gmail.com. You can visit us at our Facebook page, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener, or just tweet us using hashtag TWVG. And if you do have a disease problem that you would like us to try to identify, supply a photograph. That makes the job a whole lot easier on us. And
right. So one thing, and we went over this in a video this week, is how to get rid of Japanese beetles.
Japanese beetles are something that has recently, for our visualization, recently appeared here in Wisconsin in our garden. Now, maybe they've been around a while. I don't know. I'm from southern Illinois. This has been a thing for years down there. So
one thing you can do now is you can use a soapy and oil spray combination, much like for the powdery mildew. Another thing you can consider for next year's planting, chives, garlic, or catnip family plants to help keep them away from those plants. If you do decide to get a pheromone trap, don't put it in the middle of your garden. Put it in the corner of your property so those stay away from your garden.
Right. Let's go to the ivyorganics.com hotline. And caller, you have a question.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
What's wrong with the bell peppers? All the leaves get brown spots and they fall off.
Okay, bell pepper. What color does the leaves get? Yellowish, and then they fall off, or they just stay green and they fall directly off?
They change color slightly.
Okay. Yeah. There can be a couple of situations with that. One, it can be overwatering or underwatering. That can be one. If there's no insects that you visually see under the leaves, then it can be one of the bigger contributing factors is too much watering or not enough watering. The plants like to stay damp, but they don't like to stay soggy. I know we've had a lot of rain.
Yeah.
And are they in containers or in the ground?
In the ground.
Okay. So you shouldn't have to – there shouldn't be an issue with lack of nutrition in the soil. If you're in a container, you would flush a lot of that with water and rain.
Yes.
So I would just monitor them and try – obviously, if it rains all the time, there's not a whole lot you can do. But keep it damp but not too wet, and don't let them dry out. And the plants should come back without too many issues.
Okay, some of them look like they might, but I went and bought a couple more later in the year, and when I bought them at the garden center, they had that on the brown leaves already. I thought maybe I could resurrect them, but I don't know. I've been watching them.
A lot of times when you buy, and you did nothing wrong, you did what we have done many years, go and try to get a plant that's cheaper, that's on sale, and try to save it. A lot of times those plants have gone through such a stress by being in the container so long that they have already gone to a reproductive state and putting on small fruit to carry on traits of that particular strain of pepper or tomato or whatever, and it may not come out of that stress.
Okay.
It may just be, I'm stressed, I'm putting on that reproductive, and then I'm going to just die out because the roots are so bound up in the container.
I've had good luck through the years, but this year it must be too much rain, I think.
We're seeing that with some of our peppers, in-ground peppers, that they get really yellow and they drop off too. And we've even got in a very well-drained area. So
okay.
Rain is good. Too much rain is not good. It's hard to get a good balance.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Thank you for your call. Thank you for listening. What else do we have that's come in on the IV or on the WisconsinVegetableGarner.com, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram this week via questions?
Okay, so there's a purple-looking scum color on my tomato plants. It almost looks like a purplish powdery mildew, kind of like a scum almost. So what's going on with that?
Well, that is the spider mites. That is what's happening. Now, we also have those on some of our Thai basil too. Spider mites is a mite that creates a tiny spider web that starts eating the tissue of the plant. This is most prevalent on tomatoes, but they do affect many different species of vegetation. Now, there's a couple of things you can do here.
What you can do is you can mix.
Well, before we do that, I want to put this out there. If it's in a small concentrated area on the plant, you can remove that section of plant, that leaf structure, up to 25%. Get rid of that first. Then see where you're at, because there's no need to treating that area if you can get rid of that. You're still going to need to treat the plant, but if you can get rid of that the worst area, then we can see what we're working with and throw that in trash, and now we can go ahead and with its application.
Right. So what you can do is you can mix a mixture of 2 tablespoons of liquid seaweed and 1 tablespoon of molasses and 1 gallon of water. Mix it well, and then you want to spray the plants on the top and the bottom. And what this does is it toughens the leaves of the plants, and the spider mites will not be able to feed off of them as well, and they're going to go somewhere else.
Now, liquid seaweed, it's a concentrated liquid form, which you can get, I believe Blue Mills has it, other garden centers has it, and you dilute it down into your gallon of water. And the molasses, just ordinary kitchen household molasses, will actually help stimulate some of the microbial life on the good microbial life and bacteria on the plant to help strengthen those leaves. So do that every 2 weeks throughout the growing season, and that should reduce or eliminate the spider mites and actually allow your plant to grow better. So that was it. And that one came in. We understood that once we saw the photograph. That came in with a photograph this week, so we tried to describe it to you. So if you think you've got spider mites, do a image search online, and you will know one way or another whether or not you have spider mites. We are sponsored by great companies each and every week.
Nacella Kombucha is the executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nacella is made in Wisconsin with local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator aisle at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nessala kombucha, it's not kombucha. You can find out more at Nessala.com.
Programming note, join us next week. We're going to talk about getting a new garden plot ready for next year, the easy way to get your new area ready to plant for next year, as well as going to go over some more debunking myths so you're not wasting time in your garden, as well as our guest.
We have Tawny from Frugal Green Girl. She's a YouTube channel. She's got a lot of great advice on how to budget, save money, and how to realistically live frugally.
Within your means. Miss any portion of this show or want to revisit in its entirety, you can find that under the radio tab at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website. Want to look for a specific topic or a certain interview, you can find that underneath the highlight tab on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website. We thank you so much for joining us today. We hope to see you next week for
Holly Baird.
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.